droppings of mice, and so we went and got some Decon. I think that's what it's called. It's supposed to kill mice, and it's supposed to, so when they die, they don't leave an odor. So we put a couple little boxes of Decon in there and opened it up and went back to our daily duties. And then about a couple of weeks later, I'm in the restroom, and I heard some sounds beyond that wall, but this time it wasn't little bitty twigs breaking. I could hear things like pencils breaking, twigs of that nature, and I thought, whoa. And I could hear something much bigger behind that wall. And so I remember going around after I figured that thing was gone, whatever it was. And a few days later, I went and I took down that little board, and I found a nest. It was a nest about this, for all these tapes that are sold to the thousands out there. I'm right now illustrating, my hands are about 15 inches apart. But there was a nest of charcoals and rocks, and it was piled about a foot tall. I thought, good night, look at that. That's a big nest. And I found out that it probably was a big rat, a pack rat. There were rocks and charcoals from when we had barbecue that rat got into the sack of charcoals and decided to use them along with rocks. And there were some twigs in there that were broken. And I thought, oh my, that little mouse, he grew real big and he now a big rat. So I tapped it back and thought, we're going to put some more Decon in there. And we did. And I went back a few weeks later, and the Decon was gone, and the nest was bigger. One night, my wife and I were laying in bed, and it's about 12 o'clock. Neither of us had gone to sleep yet. We'd been out late. And the lights are off, and there's an outside light. And so there's not much light inside. And come about 12 o'clock at night, just before we were about to doze off to sleep, I heard that board up against that wall fall and hit the carpet. We both backed up on the bed and were sitting waiting for the next thing to happen. When out walked, we saw two eyes about 3 inches apart, about 10 inches off of the ground. I said, honey, this would be a great time for you to do what the Bible says. And the Bible, I'm the head of the home, and right now I have a job for you. I want you to go and to take care of whatever that is. Now you submit to me. And she said, no, this would not be in the Lord. I'm not submitting to you. You're the head of the home. You do what you ought to do. And so I said, I am. I'm trying to delegate. And so there was a wall with a light switch on about 8 feet away. It seemed like 800 yards away. I said, honey, you're closer to the light switch. I want you to jump out and turn on the light. And she said, no, you turn on that light. And those two eyes were still at the foot of our bed, right up to that closet, just staring. So after I realized I had a very rebellious wife, I decided I would jump and hit that light switch. And when I did, if you'd had a camera, it'd have been something else. But I turned that light on and looked, and there was a cat. The cat just stared at us. And I didn't know if the cat was wild or if the cat was tame, but it wouldn't move. And when I went like this, the cat moved, and I found out the cat was half wild, half tame, depending on what mood it was in. Well, the cat took off through the house and somehow found a way to leave. So now I realize the cat's gone. Well, he was gone, he wasn't gone. He'd come around and we'd make kind of a pet out of him. We'd get kind of close to him, and sometimes he'd allow me to touch him, but other times he'd reach up and, don't you touch me. So we kind of figured it was our pet, and we left it at that. So now I've still got this big rat, And so I got me a big cage to catch this pack rat. And one day we had that metal trap out on the back porch when I was inside the house, and I heard the most weird sound. And I thought, I caught that rat. And I shot around there because this thing was the weirdest sound I'd ever heard. And I had it near, I thought, was the entry of where the rat was coming in. But when I looked and came around the corner, in that cage was the cat. And we really didn't have a name for it. But I remember that I thought to myself, oh no, I caught the little pet that we've got now, about three-fourths being a pet. It was a cute little cat. I remember when I came around, that cat, that weird noise it was making. Have you ever heard cat go at it at night? I'll not give TMI more than that, but it was along that noise. But when I came around, he changed his roar and saw me and went, meow. I went up and I thought, oh, you poor little thing. I didn't mean to catch you. I meant to catch the rat. And I let the cat out of the cage. Now, this is a perfect illustration I hope I can give about why there is a hell. Now, please follow me. The trap wasn't set for the cat. It was set for the rat. But when that cat got its paw in the wrong place, it got caught trying to go for the bait, and it got caught. And I want to give you something I hope you will hear. I've got about seven little points. Number one, first, God created angels, and he made them to be ministering servants. God created three groups of angels. The first group, He placed an archangel over each one. The first group was Lucifer. He was placed over that group of angels. And then there was a second group of angels, and there was an archangel over them, and his name was Gabriel. Gabriel was often known for bringing glad tidings, and he was given the task of bringing good news. And then there was a third archangel, and his name was Michael. He was known for an angel that did battle and fighting for God's people. So you have three groups of angels, and you have an archangel over each one. One is Lucifer, the other is Gabriel, and the third is Michael. The second thing I want to say is God made a place of suffering. Now please listen. He made a place of suffering. The Bible says this was a place of fire. It was a place of conscience. It was a place where you'd have memory, where you would remember the opportunities that you messed up. God made this place and called it hell. And I want to tell you something. There was not one single man on the face of the earth when God made hell. Not one. God didn't make hell for man. He set the trap for Satan. And what happened is God placed that place and said, here is the price that you're going to have to pay if you sin. And if the angels sin, this is the price you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to go to this place. Now, God didn't want the angel to sin. He wanted the angels to continue to obey him, but he made a place set for him. And if he did not, then he would go there. Now, I'm not talking about man. Now, so far, I've said, number one, God made angels. Number two, God made a place of suffering. And number three, God made that place called hell for the price to pay if the angels or anyone sin or the archangels. Number four, they were fully warned. Fully warned. God said, Michael, Lucifer, Gabriel, if you sin or if your angels sin, you will go to a place called hell. That is the price that you will pay for your sin of disobedience. God said, if you sin, I've made a place for you if you sin. I want to repeat myself, please. God did not make hell for man. He made hell for the angels as a price to pay for their sin, and God set the trap. There is a hell, and there is angels. Number five, Lucifer and his angels rebelled against God. You remember in Isaiah where he said, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend unto the heavens. And pride came to Lucifer, and he said, I will cause there to be an overthrow. I don't like being number two. I want to be number one. And the second in command decided he wanted to be the first in command. And now remember, God had already set the price, and God had already said what would happen if you do sin and what it would cost you if you sin. And he had a place prepared. So one third of the angels sinned and Lucifer sinned. I want to repeat myself. Number one, God made the angels. Number two, God made a place called hell, a place of suffering. Number three, my third point is God made a place called hell as a price to pay if they sin. Number four, they were fully warned what would happen if they did. Number five, my fifth statement is one third of the angels led by Lucifer did fall and rebel. Number six, my sixth statement is God had no choice but to do what he said he would do. Because if God's word is not good, then God is not God, and God cannot lie. God's word is true, and it cannot be broken. So because God's word is always true, God said, I've got to do what I said I would do. And that's why we read in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, then shall he say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Who was it made for? For the devil and his angels. Now remember, when God created hell, there was not one human being that had been made. Number seven, my seventh point, is that God made man. Now remember, before he made man, there was the devil and hell that was made for the devil if he sinned. God did not make hell for man, nor did he make man for hell. God made hell for the devil and his angels. Now wait a minute. I want to go back to my story. I set the trap for the rat. We caught the rat later, but first we caught the cat. Was I trying to catch the cat? Yes or no? No, I wasn't trying to catch the cat. I was trying to catch the rat. But what happened? Our three-fourths pet got caught in the trap. Number eight, God made man, and Satan came to him in the garden, and he wanted to drag man to hell where he was heading himself. He wanted company because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wanted to keep on destroying. He didn't want anybody to enjoy heaven. The devil didn't. He had to go to hell, and that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. In that beautiful garden where man was, there Satan, Lucifer, came and said, why don't you do this? And man became proud and committed the same sin that Lucifer committed. Lucifer came and said, why don't you do what you want? Why don't you be your own boss? And so man said the same thing that Lucifer did. I want to be my own boss. I want to run my own life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. And I want to be my own boss. And I will say what he got into the same sin of what Lucifer did. And man was seduced by Lucifer to do what he did. And man did what Lucifer did. And man got caught in the trap that was made for Lucifer and the angels. Let me repeat. Number one, God created the angels. Number two, God created a place of suffering in case they sin. Number three, God made hell as a price to pay if they sin. Number four, the angels were fully warned. Number five, one third of the angels sinned along with Lucifer. Number six, God had no choice because they sinned but to keep his word. Number seven, I said God made man. Number eight, Satan came to man and succeeded in getting man to sin in the garden, because he did it, it leads us to point number 9. Now remember, the price had already been set. Now wait a minute. Let us just think for a moment. God had said, the soul that sinneth shall die. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, God hath already set the penalty for sin. He did set that penalty for sin and for man, and he set it for the devil and his angels. Now, if the angels sin, there's a hell. Now, the devil caused man to sin, and he got caught in the trap. Hear me, please. Here's the good news. Why didn't God redeem the angels? Why didn't Jesus come and die for the angels? Huh? Same reason. I didn't want the cat to get in the trap. I wanted the rat to get in the trap. And when the cat got caught in the trap, I said, you poor little cat. The cat, I could tell, when it meowed, I interpreted that, and it was saying, I don't like this. I don't like being in this place. So I went on the back porch of this cat that kind of been at war with me and now decided to be very friendly to me, and I proceeded to gently help the cat out of the trap. You see, God did not make angels in his own likeness. He made angels to be ministering servants. And when angels sinned, it was not worthy for God to suffer and die and to send his own son for an angel. But when God saw man in the trap, God said, I'm going to plan to get him out of that trap. You know what that means? That means that God loves you and me more than the angels. He loves us more than he does Gabriel or Michael. That means, and especially Lucifer. And that means when any angel that flies on earth and leaves the celestial place where they are continually worshiping God, those angels that have continually come that are ministering spirits, the Bible says, that angel that came to Mary to let her know that she was carrying child that was brought on by the Holy Ghost. That means that that angel that someone mentioned this morning that took 21 days for Daniel when there was a war, that means that those angels that came to Daniel that shut the mouth of a lion, that means that angel that came to Zacharias in the temple to tell him that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a child, that means that the angel that came to Joseph and said, depart while Herod is wanting to kill, God loved them. But he did not love them enough to die for them and to send his own son. That'd be Lucifer. But man, when we were made in the image of God, in the image of our Creator, when man fell and ended up in the trap that was not made for him, God in his justice had already said, it's not for you, but I'm going to make a way out for you. And I say this cautiously, but please listen to me. You who have sinned, and you got yourself caught in that trap, if you don't take the way out that God has made for you to get out of that trap, you're going to end up in hell that was made for the devil and the angels. And God has made a way out for you. Matthew says in the gospel, then shall he say to those on his left side, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If you go to hell, you will be an intruder. If you go to hell, it's going to be bad enough, but it was made for the devil and his angels. And when I hear someone say, would a loving God send anybody to hell? Please listen to me. God doesn't send anyone to hell. But when you ended up in that trap that wasn't made for you, and God sent his son to die for you on the cross that your sins could be forgiven, that you might get out of the trap, and you refuse to get out of the trap, God must keep his word. Now, I could have gone to that cat in that cage and served that little cat communion, and it wouldn't have saved him. I could have gone to that little cat and said, "Oh, you sweet little thing, you know, you've been our pet, and, you know, I'm going to just do this for you and do that for you." It wouldn't have done any good. That cat needed to get out of that trap. And so I opened the gate up. Let me say this. When God sent his son to the earth, and when Jesus came and died on the cross, and when Jesus was on that cross and became sin, he experienced hell in the sense of being separated from God. He got in that trap to release you from being in the trap. And he won't drag you out. And I had to reach in that trap to pull that cat out. And God's son had to reach in the trap by what he did on Calvary to pull you out of that trap. Now, he won't fight you, but I pray you let him take you out of that cat. Do you know that when Jesus came, he lived 33 years, he never got into that trap. But in the 33rd and a half year when Jesus was on that cross, he had never sinned. He had never gotten in that trap. But when Jesus was on that cross, and when God laid your sins and my sins on the Son of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he became sin and experienced death and separation from God, reached into that trap, and will pull you and me out if we'll allow him to. There's a true story happened many, many years ago in the city of Oklahoma. There was a tiger, the big tiger, almost like the same one that got out of here years ago at the zoo. It got out of the zoo and was running wild, and the whole town was in an uproar. They didn't know where this ferocious tiger was, but they went, and they didn't know how to find him. And true story, they took a little lamb, and they made a cage nearby the zoo, and they put that little lamb inside that trap. And when the tiger smelled it and came by, it went in that trap, and the door shut, and that little lamb was devoured. And that is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ when he hung on the cross for you and for me, that your sins might be forgiven. He died. He experienced separation and death from his Father, and he wants you to be able to leave. Let me tell you why I believe in hell. There's a second reason why I believe in hell. Not only does the Bible teach it, but when Paul the Apostle, after his conversion, and he is out sharing the gospel everywhere he went, the good news. I find it very interesting when he was speaking to King Agrippa. Now, King Agrippa was over a certain of the province of the Jews. Now, how is Paul going to witness to this man? When you read the account, he says, "Now, King Agrippa, you know the customs of the Jews." King Agrippa did. He studied the people that he was over well. And then Paul, he isn't preaching a lot of Bible. He's telling him, "Now you know the Jews, and you know." And then Paul shares his own testimony. He tells about his experience on the Damascus Road. Now so far he's mentioned, "You know the Jews." And then he tells how he had a vision and what he saw in that vision, how he came to Christ. And then he said, King Agrippa, you know the prophets. Paul knew that the King Agrippa knew the prophets, which meant he knew the word. But the point I want to make is Paul used both to persuade the king. He used both the word, but mostly he told of his own testimony. I want to share with you, not that you don't believe in hell. One preacher called me up and said, will you preach it on day? I said, can you believe it? It's hotter than Hades out there and I'm preaching on hell. He said, you're preaching to the choir. He knows you. I said, yeah, these people, they know their Bible. But for those of you, just to reinforce why God made hell, when I was a brand new convert, I had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. I had been filled with the Holy Ghost for about 3 months. I was talking in tongues every day. When one night I went to sleep, I had been out witnessing to everyone I knew. People, if we really believed this teaching of hell, we'd pray with more fervency. If we really believed this thing, we'd be talking to a whole lot more people. If we really believe this thing, it has a way of sobering me up. And not that I'm saying when I go out and witness, I tell every one of them, you're going to hell. But it motivates me. I hope it ought to motivate you. It motivated Jesus. And that's why Jude says, compassion making a difference, but others save with fear. And we have a God that is a consuming fire. But then I went to sleep and I had a dream that I've shared years ago, but I want to illustrate my point on why I believe in hell. I was a surfer before I became a Christian. And eventually I moved away, so I wasn't able to surf anymore. But I love surfing. I surfed all the time. In fact, I had knots on my knees and on my toes, and those were badges of honor. That meant because the calcium deposits of sitting on that surfboard for so long, then they went to the shortboard, and us old timers, we believe in that King James. We didn't like those new versions. But anyway, I had this dream. And in this dream, I'm out. Now, mind you, I don't know nothing about the Bible. I'm just starting to read it, but nothing has really begun to where I understand the teachings, etc. In fact, let me back up. I've gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this happened within probably a week of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It happened very shortly after. I'm on this big body of water, but I knew it wasn't water. It was a shadowy substance. It was like a thick mist of darkness. And I'm with a lot of my old friends that we surfed with and hung out with, when all of a sudden, I remember waves, we were right in the middle, say right down this aisle, when I remember a wave going this way and a wave would go that way. We were right in the middle where the waves were separating. These waves were huge. They had to be 50 to 100 feet tall. And I remember because they were so big, we were afraid to catch them. When I remember a big cry, the most unusual sound of a cry I'd never heard. When my old friends who have not yet come to Christ, and they caught this wave and it went that way in this huge darkness and mist. I couldn't see them because they were on the other side. When I began to hear crying and shrieking and agony, and it just froze my heart as I heard the cries and the screams of horror. Then a wave caught us, and I remember going this way. I don't remember so much catching the wave, but trying to get away from the wave. When we were hurrying, and I could still hear the cries of those that were taken without their choice, without their having any ability to change what was happening. They were being separated. And I now am in this group, and that dark substance is coming towards us. And I knew it was death. I just instinctively knew in the dream, I've got to get away from that mist, that darkness, that blackness, that death. Next thing I know, there's a tree, a huge tree. And I start climbing the tree because now the blackness is underneath us and it's starting to rise. We climb that tree. When I look over and I see a little lady that was in my church, I knew was a prayer warrior, Sister Hatcher. And I remember this tree as we were climbing it to get away from this mist that was rising was Mrs. Hatcher. And I said to her, "Are we going to make it?" And she just said, "Hang on to the tree." I looked out and I saw a limb that went out and a small leaf and a big man hanging on to a leaf. I was amazed that just holding on to that little leaf would hold him. And then as the darkness was rising and I didn't want it to get us like it got them and heard the cries, when the roof opened up and I was in heaven briefly, I remember walking and colors and flowers singing, and there was worship coming, and oh, the sense that I had, that I felt, was amazing. Now, this has been over 40 years ago, but I still remember it, and I knew I was in the presence of God. I cannot forget the colors and the flowers singing and praise and worship coming from everything. I knew Jesus was way off at a distance, and then the next thing that happened, I woke up. My younger sister is by my bed, and I looked at her, and she says, "Dennis, what are you doing?" And I'm waking up, and I said, "What?" She said, "You have been talking in a way I've never heard you talk." I had been speaking in tongues. I said, "Well, how long?" She says, "At least 5 minutes. You've been talking in tongues." It woke me up. And I came down the hallway and I was just glued to watching you as you would sit up and move and reach out. I said, "Oh, Darlene, I just had a dream from God." The reason I say that is it so stirred me of the reality of heaven and hell. It is real. It wasn't made for us, but we'll go there if we don't receive Christ. Would you stand, please? Like I said, this is not a hellfire brimstone message, but that's the best way I know how to describe hell. I do believe it's a place of fire and torment forever and ever and ever. That causes me to weep at times. I often find myself, when I go witnessing and I look out, I ask myself, I've only got a little shot to try to help them. I pray God give us a vision of the lost. I pray God give us a sense of what we already know. I told my friend, I said, "These are good people. They know what I'm telling them." But as much as God has stirred me, I pray it stir you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Surely you that sent your Son, that came in to that trap, became sin, and experienced separation. And for 3.5 days you were in the tomb. And yes, Lord, the stone had been rolled away, and you have risen from the dead. And on this time, when we think of our country and Independence Day coming up, Lord, the only way one is truly free is whom Jesus has set free is free indeed. Lord, unless people here that hear my voice are living for you and are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb and have received Christ and living for him, Lord, there is no freedom. And if they have not yet received Christ, that's where they're headed, is hell. You don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But it's the truth, and I must preach it. The good news is what you said, Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I pray you stir in us not only what we know to be true, but we believe it and live it and walk it out. If you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, Pastor, I don't even know if I'm saved and I don't even want to take a chance, but would you pray for me? I want to be saved. Would you raise your hand? How many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand. I pray for every one of you. I pray God help you. I pray God help me. I pray we remember the Great Commission. The greatest commandment. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. I bless you as you go and pray that we continually get in the Word and recognize the great message. This thing is real, people. I've had too many visions and things, and I'll not go into it, but I know it's real. It's so real. God, don't let me be selfish just for myself. Help me to bring a boatload with me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I pray you sharpen up your witnessing. Tonight, I'm preaching on an old expression. He's in the flesh. If you're not here tonight, it's because you're in the flesh. But anyway, the Lord bless you. Allow your pastor to have humor.